Well, I was away on vacation, and I got caught up on the Riders beating the Ticats 2-0 now in preparation for the Argonauts. Quarterback Trevor Harris on the task at hand.
They're the defending Grey Cup champions for a reason, and they're well coached. They started 0-2, so they're not where they want to be, and we know they're going to come out with fire. They're going to come out like a, you know, animal caged, and they're going to be excited to play, especially in front of their home fans. And so, you know, we're going to be excited about going to Toronto as the challenge. You know, we took the loss there last year, and so we know it's a tough place to play.
Riders were back at practice yesterday. Joining me now, taking my call early, he must have missed me, CJME Rider reporter Britton Grady. You miss me, right?
Absolutely. Nothing I'd rather be doing right now,
Grady. I can't see it either. Thanks for being here, pal. So who was missing from practice yesterday? Let's start there.
One of the big ones, the new ones, was Sam Emelis, who left the game against Hamilton early. Head coach Corey Mace after the game called it a Charlie Horse type deal, but on the injury report was listed as a foot. So we'll see exactly what that is, what that injury, how serious it is. Unfortunately, today's closed, so we won't be able to see if he's back out there or not until the injury report comes out. But that's a big loss for this team. Sam Emelis can be one of the top receivers in the league, and now someone else is going to have to step up and fill that void.
I think a lot of Rider fans, I know while I was gone, they beat Hamilton, but I heard that Brett Bother had a lousy game. He missed 3 field goals in a convert attempt in a win over Hamilton. Yesterday, he spoke, the coach spoke. What was the word?
Yeah, well, of course, Brett Lawther, you know, he's always going to take the blame for when it happens, right? He said people can try to think of other things, the holds, the fact that they didn't practice outside due to the smoke, the weather. No, he said that was all on him, and he knows he needs to be better. We've seen this with Brett Lawther. That was what head coach Corey Mace said after the game, too, was I saw it last year, right? He had a tough game. All of a sudden, he came out and only missed 1 kick the rest of the way. So they're hoping that that's the same sort of thing that happens here, and this has just kind of started to happen with Brett Lawther. He has 1 bad game, always finds a way to bounce back. And because he's done that, he's been around for so long and how good of a kicker he's been, he's kind of earned the right to not panic just because of 1 bad game. If it goes into 2 or 3 bad games in a row, then we can start to worry.
As you know, they're preparing for the Argos on Friday night. Arbuckle is getting the start. They're 0-2. Well, how do you see this matchup?
Yeah, well, I think the Riders are going to go in and get a win just because Nick Arbuckle hasn't looked like Grey Cup MVP Arbuckle. He's looked like that Arbuckle who was considering retiring from football. It just hasn't been good there recently. And they may be without Winton McManus as well on the defensive side. And so you're missing Chad Kelly, your leader on offense. Might be missing Winton McManus, your leader on defense. I just think there's some voids there that the Argos just don't have the leaders to fill right now. That's why I really like the Riders' chances heading out east again.
There he is, Rider reporter Britton Gray. Thank you so much, pal, for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
Not many know that Chevy Chase, the actor, was actually a drummer to a band that would later become Steely Dan. Yeah, he was in a college band, Mr. Chase, with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. And the band was called Leather Canary at the time. And then Chevy Chase left, and the remaining 2 members formed Steely Dan. What could have been? Oh, it worked out just fine for Mr. Chase, that's for sure. Hey, some good news with the recent rain. It has helped not only the wildfire situation up north, also helping to lift the provincial fire ban now, if you missed that. They said that yesterday. It doesn't mean you shouldn't still check if you're going to a provincial park. Individually, provincial parks can decide themselves whether or not there should be a ban. So it's always just, you know, call ahead if you really want to know. But that's some good news. And not likely much camping this weekend because the first weekend of summer, yeah, summer officially arrives Friday. It's going to be pretty rainy through Saturday and Sunday. Just a reminder, too, that coming up later, Premier Scott Moe and Alberta Premier Daniel Smith are holding a joint news conference 3:30 this afternoon in Lloydminster. We will carry that here live on 980 CJME to see what those two will be discussing, perhaps energy and ag, of course, some of the topics, and maybe a little comment on the G7 summit that has wrapped up, where Canada and the U.S., I guess, taking up to a month-long window to work out our tariff differences. You listen to Trump, He likes the word tariff, so I don't know if they're going to be eliminated entirely. I find that hard to believe, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Panther perfection! The Florida Panthers with their second consecutive Stanley Cup!
Yeah, the Panthers repeated as Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Oilers 5-1, and man, I was watching that game. You know, I'm a hardcore Oilers fan, but you could tell the momentum was just swinging. They didn't get the first goal as they needed. The Panthers scored first. They were up 2-0 after one. And yes, even I, as an Oilers fan, I said out loud in the second period, if the Oilers don't score and get a spark here and the Panthers score that third goal, it's over.
The hole is now 3 goals for Edmonton.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. The Oil opened the third with a little jump, but the Panthers just, they were outmatching them in every aspect of the game at that point. Sam Reinhart, 4 goals, including an empty netter. Matthew Tkachuk scored the cup clincher too. He admitted that he fought through this one after injury prior to the cup run beginning.
I tore my adductor off the bone, and that had some hernia thing, and all on the same side, and wanted to throw in the towel. Bunch of times, I'm sure. I got to thank a lot of people, I mean, for getting me healthy enough. I'm sure I wasn't the easiest to deal with. I mean, my fiance did a great job at the house on days where I probably wasn't in the best mood coming to the rink. The trainers, maybe when I wasn't in the best mood, when I was in pain. I just owe them so much, the doctors.
His brother in the stands with his dad and family. It was a pretty cool moment for him. And with the Oilers' loss, Canada Stanley Cup drought goes on. It's reached 32 years since Montreal last won in 93. And after the game, Connor McDavid said simply, they lost to the better team.
Lost to a really good team. Nobody quit. Nobody threw the towel in. They're a heck of a team. You know, the Stanley Cup champions back-to-back for a reason. And obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice. You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them.
Well, hopefully it'll make us stronger as Oilers fans. What a disappointment last night. Game 6, the Panthers are Stanley Cup champions again. I know after the game, listening to Connor McDavid say they lost to the better team, and Leon Draisaitl pretty blunt with his outcome.
Yeah, we battled, but we're not leaving here as winners. So
Stuart Skinner and goal. He kind of muffed it on the third goal, and that was the killer, right? But I don't blame this series on Stuart Skinner. Sure, I don't think goaltending is as big of a deal with the Oilers as a few others, but Skinner did own up to that bit of a muff and also asked why he thought the Panthers won.
In my opinion, I think it was just consistency. I think that was honestly it. They played a consistent game. They didn't change once through the whole series. I felt like our game was up and down a little bit here and there. I mean, that's how they play. They play that game all year, and it goes into playoffs, and they stick to it. They do the exact same thing every night. In our game, we weren't as consistent as they were.
Coach Chris Knobloch said something very similar. And last night, our reporter Jillian Massey was in Imperial, Saskatchewan. The community northwest of Regina had gathered to watch, well, Coach Knobloch and his club win. It did not happen. And Jillian was there to capture the tears. How was it, Jillian?
Well, it was just kind of heartbreaking, actually. You know, this community, you know, they've said that they were going to, they stand behind Coach Chris no matter what. But Chris's parents were in, were at the watch party. And, you know, I talked to Bob afterwards, and he said, you know, it's just, he was a little bit emotional, and he said, you know what, it's been a stressful couple of months watching these playoffs, and this just wasn't the result that we were hoping for tonight. It was quite emotional for a lot of other people. I sat in a crew of a bunch of older women, actually, and, you know, they were just like, when in the last few minutes of the game when they pulled Skinner out of the net with 6 minutes on the clock, everybody, there was just a collective "oh no" that just came from the crowd. So
on the empty net goal, yeah. I did not cry, but as a strong Oiler fan, I was particularly sad. You mentioned how Bob, watching the game there, was disappointed. He told you this.
Not feeling very good. 2 years in a row, I had higher hopes for this year.
Yeah, 2 years in a row kind of stings, that's for sure. But what's watching hockey, Jillian? I don't think you're a super fan of hockey that I know of, are you?
No, I'm not a super fan. But, you know, you walk into a situation like that when we're a group of people care so much about, you know, a team and even one person that they watched grow up in that community. And you could feel the emotion in the room, Greg. You know, like, people were really upset about, you know, what had happened. And I even heard a couple people say, just while they were packing up their lawn chairs on the way out, this year almost feels a little bit worse than it did last year. This loss just hurts a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree, because I actually called for them to both appear in the Stanley Cup and for the Oilers to win this year. So I can agree with what you said there. Well, thanks for going to Imperial Saskatchewan last night, Jillian. And I sure hope the next move you make is to buy an Oilers jersey and represent.
Absolutely.
Reporter Jillian Massey, I thank you so much. I want to wish Sir Paul McCartney, happy birthday. He's 83 today. Let me string a few of his big hits that you might recognize together here. I think you know him. Yeah. 83 years young. What about these hits?
Hey, Jude, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, get back to where you once belong.
Back in the USSR.
It was 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. Live and let die.
It is Paul McCartney's birthday. He's 83 today. And that's just a small example of great music he's given us throughout his career. I probably could have added another, 100 or so songs. But remember August 2013, Sir Paul visiting Regina to perform at the old Taylor Field Stadium. On his way to the gig, he calls in to 980 CJME. Became a good friend of the show.
You know, it's always really nice to play places you haven't played before. And you know, I've been all over Canada, played a lot of places, but I haven't played Regina before. So it's exciting to meet a new bunch of people, you know?
Yeah, he gave a shout-out to the Riders.
Go Riders, go.
And prior to the show, he shared how he experienced Regina.
I heard you were out biking around Wascana Park today. Was that you?
Yeah, we went around the lake. It was very beautiful.
Wascana Lake. Some of you may have seen him there, but Sir Paul, 83 today. I want to thank you for all the kind texts welcoming me back and some of the shots you've taken at me, knowing that I'm an Oilers fan and the loss last night. But yeah, I had a great vacation. I said a few years ago, I'm going to start every 2 years going somewhere where I've never been. A couple of years ago, I went to Greece and then saved up. And this year it was Western Mediterranean. And I'm still kind of recovering from the jet lag because it was 8 hours ahead there in Rome. And yes, I watched the Oilers games at 2 in the morning there. I tour all day, sleep a few hours, jump up. Yes, I'm dedicated. Watch the Oilers game, go back to sleep for a couple hours, tour again. But we kicked off things in Rome. I highly recommend, if you ever have an opportunity, the Colosseum experience. It was like time traveling to both ancient gladiators and every sword and sandal movie I had ever seen. It was in my head as I walked around the Colosseum. It was remarkable, and seeing what's left of it, both above ground and then the labyrinth below. It's like walking through a live-action history book. And from Rome, we boarded a cruise ship. And boy, that's fun. A floating city with unlimited gelato ice cream, I'm going to tell you right now. It was a blast. And one of the first stops was Portofino, Italy, which is a postcard-perfect little village. Just gorgeous. And then we were in Florence, Pisa, where we got off the beaten path there to visit a charming little farm that
was not only a vineyard, but they grew poplar trees because they grow grapes for their wine, but also poplar trees grown and then cut down every 12 years. They sell them off, turn it into paper and furniture. And the biggest surprise stop was Cannes. Because, man, this you know, the Cannes Film Festival, it had wrapped up the week before we got there, but the yachts, oh, I've never seen so many luxury boats in one place. Tens of thousands of yachts. Never seen that many. I've traveled a lot of places, but that must be the yacht capital of the world. It was incredible. In Mallorca, Spain, it was lovely, too. We went for a good bicycle ride through Mallorca, and that would drive Murray Wood, who hates cyclists who don't stick to... in his mind, proper procedures on the roads, because there everyone cycles. So the vehicles take the back seat to cyclists. And then Barcelona, which basically exists in my mind to blow your mind. It did just that to me. Anthony Gaudí's fingerprints. You might have heard of him. He's all over Barcelona. And the Sagrada A Familia, it's a church, but it's almost like a sculpture. It's just like you're living a dream. And if aliens landed here and went there first, they'd go, what the hell have you guys done here and built? This is unbelievable. It's pretty cool. But I highly recommend taking the leap. If you promise yourself one day, do as I, eventually, not too late in life, start doing some of those trips that you always dream of. It can be done. And financially, it's, you know, just check. There are a lot of specials and deals that are out there. CJME News Time now is 827.